We're carrying on in this series, Three's a Crowd. And we've been talking about the crowds that followed Jesus throughout, especially the book of Matthew, but all through the stories when people described Jesus and talked about Jesus in the Bible, it often had to do with crowds followed him there and crowds followed him there, and there were crowds present when he showed up at that place and he had compassion on the crowds. And we looked at that, we've looked at it from a number of different perspectives because we feel like at Northgate here, we're kind of a crowd, you know? We're not just two services, we're three services now, and we're all kind of moving in a direction. We're all in the same way. Some people have been a part of church for a long time. Some people are really fresh to church. Some people have been, grew up in Christian families. Some not. Some people grew up in Christian families and really hated that and left their Christian family and are maybe sort of making their way back and trying to figure out how that fits their life. And all of us, wherever you're at, we make up a crowd that's kind of looking towards Jesus and just seeing, what does he have? Who is he? What is he supposed to mean for my life? How do I approach him? How do I handle this? And the great thing about Jesus is he never said, no, you can't come to me as a crowd. You have to come to me one-on-one, and I'm going to tell you if you're going to make the cut or not. He welcomed the crowds and had compassion on the crowds and talked to and communicated with and healed and fed the crowds, not just individuals. And so we're just kind of looking at what we can be expecting from Jesus. What can our interactions probably look like? What do we believe is going to take place as we are a crowd looking towards Jesus? And so we've looked at that from a number of angles. Last week I talked about how Jesus sometimes stops the whole crowd to point out an individual. How sometimes we think we're kind of lost in the crowd and no one really notices me and no one really cares about me. And Jesus sometimes will actually stop the entire crowd and say, stop, wait, that person, I need to talk to them. I need to focus on them. I need to give them my attention. And sometimes what happens in that is that we start to think that, well, if Jesus spent that time with me, I must be his favorite. Hey, anyone here Jesus' favorite? Oh, okay, a few of us are Jesus' favorite. Shame on you. I can't believe it. I must be his favorite. He took some extra time for me. I got the healing touch in my heart, so thank you very much. I'm his favorite and not you, so bye-bye. You know, and sometimes we think that if Jesus talks with me or if I have an interaction with Jesus or if something good happens in my life, I must be specifically Jesus' favorite and he must have specific focus on me and specifically be paying attention to me and probably nobody else. And so I'm just going to take all of my time and give it all to Jesus, and we're going to have this one-on-one relationship, and we're actually going to leave the crowd because it's just, Jesus just wants to hang out with me, his favorite. Actually, one of his disciples even describes himself as the one Jesus loved. I love that. Oh, I'm the one Jesus loved. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's me. And I don't think Jesus would have corrected him. I don't think Jesus would have said, John, you are one of the ones that I love. You can say that, but you can't say you're the one I love. In fact, I think Jesus probably might have said that to some people. Actually, you are my favorite. Don't tell them. And then walk up to someone else. You're my favorite. Don't tell them. Because Jesus has a different capacity to love than we have. And did you know that each of my kids is my favorite? You know? That used to drive me crazy with my parents would say that to me, right? Like, Mom, who's your favorite? I know you're going to say you love us all. Who's your favorite, though? Is it me? It's not Travis, is it? It's not Travis. I know it wouldn't be Travis. Is it Emily? No, not Emily. It's me, right? It's Evan. It's me, right, Mom? Yes, you're my favorite. And then later on, she just goes to the top bunk to talk to my brother. You're my favorite too, Travis. I'm like, what? You know? That's not fair. We can't both be the favorite. Like, it's not. She spent specific time with me or took me out to A&W so that I could. I'm her favorite, obviously. How is he her favorite? Sometimes when we start thinking that we must be the favorite, then we think nobody else is. It's like when I tried out for this Selects soccer team when I was a young guy, and we were all going through all the drills and the coaches were checking us all out and seeing what we were all about, and it was a multiple day tryout. I don't know what grade I was in, probably grade 7 or 8 or something like that, and the coaches started going to individuals and they came up to me, they said, Evan, yeah you made the team. I'm like, yes, awesome. Sort of start walking around a little bit more like, yeah, I made the team. I wonder which one of you, like, lowlifes didn't, because I did, you know? And I start walking around that way. Well, the next day, they sort of released a list for who's the team. Every single person who tried out made the team. It's like, I thought I was your favorite, you know? I thought I made the cut, and you did make the cut, but so did everyone else. See, sometimes we think if Jesus has a good relationship with me, or if I have a good relationship with him, or I'm looking to him, and I feel like he's touching me in a different way, then we can just pull ourselves away from the crowd and say, never mind all of you. I'm going to go do my thing with Jesus over here, and I don't need to be a part of this. I don't need to be a part of what all of this is. And sometimes people did that with Jesus. Sometimes people do that now with the church. They say, I don't really need to be part of the church. I don't really need to be around all of those people that are looking to Jesus. And in fact, most of those people don't have the same faith as me. Most of them aren't as serious about their faith as me. See, my faith has gotten me really serious, which has meant that I want to spend all of my time just with Jesus, not with people, just with Jesus. Because if I'm with people, I'm distracted from Jesus, and I don't want to do that. And Jesus never made room for that when he lived on the planet. He never said, oh, no worries, you, me and you, we'll go over here and we'll take time ourselves. I'll come back to you. I'll go to the crowd, but I'll come back to you. No, often when people tried to do that to him, Jesus would say, no, I'm working with the crowd. Come join us, or you're going to be over there on your own. I'm not coming to you right now. I'm over here with the crowd. Come and be a part of it with me. He doesn't give us room to say, just go and have a relationship with me alone. He says, come and be a part of all of this with me. In fact, if you're my favorite, that's because you're pointing more and more people to me. Sometimes we think Christian maturity or spiritual maturity separates us from the crowd. And we say, oh, there, now I'm much more mature than everyone else, and I don't need the crowd. The crowd was a crutch for me, and I don't need the crowd for my faith anymore. I can just carry on in my prayer closet at home, and that's all I need. And Jesus says, yeah, but I'm working over here with the crowd, and I want to do miracles here with the crowd. And I'm calling people who've been lost to be found here with the crowd. I'm restoring brokenness over here with the crowd. In fact, on a Sunday morning at church, lives are going to be changed. And I want you to come and join in that process. See, Jesus never allowed us to be too proud for the crowd. You're not allowed to be too proud for the crowd. That's pretty good. You know, I've been waiting for crowd rhymes to come this whole series, and they just haven't been coming. So today I feel good. I got two in one time. So you're not allowed to be too proud for the crowd. That'd be like me saying, Mom, I don't want to be part of the family if you have other favorites. If my brother or sister are also the favorites, mm-mm. Yeah, but son, you're like my favorite. I don't really believe that anymore, because I think you think he's your favorite and she's your favorite too. So I must have nowhere to fit. And she's like, what? You? I want the whole family. If you leave, I'm going to chase after you. That's how Jesus' love was. You leave, I'm chasing after you. But when I get you back, we're all together. This is all of us. Well, Travis leaves. Will you chase after him? Yes. You're going to leave me? Yes. And I'm going to bring him back, and we're all together. That's how it works. The crowd has value. This gathering has value for us. None of us are meant to have just relationship with Jesus that says, I'm out of here. I don't want to be around that group of people that don't have as strong of a faith as me. Where Jesus shows up to the crowd and says, your faith isn't going to be based on you going and praying on your own. That's a response to me moving in your life, and I want to move in the crowd. I want to change lives in the crowd. I want to do big things in the crowd. And so there's a couple stories in Matthew about Jesus sort of teaching people this kind of idea. Matthew 12, 46 to 50, it says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside. So Jesus had family, right? His mother and brothers show up, and he's preaching and teaching to a crowd of people, and they show up to this thing. Wherever he is, they show up, and they want to start talking to him, but they stood outside. I think that's a valuable little piece of information there. They stood outside, not inside. They weren't amidst the crowd. They didn't want to enter the crowd. They wanted to separate themselves from the crowd and were looking for Jesus to come to them. They stood outside wanting to speak to him. And it says, someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. I just try to picture what this probably looked like. You know, Jesus is inside some kind of building. He's inside somewhere, he's teaching, he's taking some time, and there's a crowd around, and everyone's there, and he's like, this is what's going on, and maybe there's some healing happening, and he's teaching about amazing things, and saying, you know, you have value, maybe he's calling out some people and saying, do you know who you are, you're my favorite, you're all my favorite, like, this might be happening in there, and his mother and brother come up, and they show up, and the greeter is standing there at the door and said, hello, so glad you're here at the gathering that's focusing on Jesus, just like that happens in church. Maybe they had a sign, you know, there's room for you here or something. Anyways, they show up and he's like, oh, welcome here. I'm so glad that you're here. Can I help you find a seat? Oh, actually, no. We're not going to be sitting amongst these people. We're going to wait outside. Oh, okay. Well, Jesus is just, he's with the crowd. Sometimes this can take hours, just so you know. I can help you find a seat if you like. We're his mother and brothers, actually. Oh, whose mothers and brothers? Whose mother and brothers? Oh, Jesus is. Oh, one second. Let me just go figure that out. I'm so sorry. I had no idea you had the connection. I'll just go and chat with Jesus about that. Do you want to come in? Can I get you a drink of water? Like, what should I do? And he runs inside. Jesus, your mother and brothers are outside. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that it was them, but they're here and they want to chat with you. And so are you available? I'm sorry for cutting in, but obviously this is important. This is your family. And here's what Jesus said. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Burn. Ouch, eh? Imagine I say that about my mother and brother. Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Whew. Jesus in this moment values the crowd that he's with. Not saying I have no value for my mother and brothers. He's saying, right now I'm with the crowd. Right now, I'm with this group of people. Right now, I'm talking to the ones who are going to do the will of my Father. I'm talking with the ones who I'm going to change the world with. I'm talking with the ones who are going to carry the mantle after I die and rise again and give them my Holy Spirit. Right now, I'm talking to the ones who are going to be shifting things and changing things. Right now, I can't just leave all of these people and come to you. But don't we have value? I mean, I'm your mom and I'm your brother. Yeah, you do have value. And in fact, we're going to have this really amazing time when I die on the cross and I'm going to talk to you. And we're going to have a special moment. I value you incredibly. I love you so much. In fact, you're my favorites. But right now, I'm in the midst of a crowd of favorites as well. See, sometimes we think that if I'm special to him, then everyone else will be a little less special to him. And we're sort of shocked when we realize that everyone else is just as special to him. We are incredibly special to God, and yet no more special than any other person in the crowd. And Jesus says, wait, I'm with the crowd right now. Imagine this guy walking back to his mother and brothers. This is going to be awkward. I can't believe this. He shows back up. Hey, look, I'm really sorry. What did he say? Well, he said his exact words were, who is my mother and brothers? So you can take that as you will. If you'd like, I can find you a seat in the back here. It's a little bit tight. But otherwise, I'm going to go back in and be part of the crowd. Feel free to, you're welcome to come in and be part of it or whatever you want. We don't know what happened. Like, did they just go home? Maybe. Because they're thinking, well, I should get special treatment because I have a special place in God's heart. And we all have determined certain reasons why we should get special treatment from God. God, do you not remember how much of my Bible I've read? You know, God, do you not remember how long I prayed that night when I could have been watching sports? God, do you not remember that I didn't yell at my kids when they did that thing? And in fact, I cleaned up that mess that no person should ever have to touch. Don't you remember me doing all those things? I should have a special place in your heart by now, right, God? Like, don't I have a special place? Yes, you have a very special place. Oh, I'm so thankful to hear that. So we're going to walk away from all these other people? No, because you have no more special place than all of them. They're the crowd, and I love them. But some of them aren't even Christians. Yeah, I love them. But some of them haven't even done good things for you. Yeah, I love them. Some of them are saying they're Christians and they're acting really bad. I love them. But me more? No. Join the crowd. Jump in. Be part of it. Don't fall away and think that your faith is too good for the crowd and too deep for the crowd and like you should have just your relationship with God. This is where God is working. Is he working in my bedroom too? Yes. Is he going to do great things as I'm driving in my car and turning on worship music and singing at the top of my lungs and being embarrassed at stop signs when other people see me? Yes, he's going to be there too. He's going to move incredible ways there. But he never says, good, now you've graduated from the crowd and you get to go have individual faith. He says, have individual faith and then get back to the crowd because I'm working here. I'm going to do work here and I'm going to continue to do work here. Another time, Jesus has just found out actually that a fairly big thing has happened. In fact, his cousin has just been killed by the power that be where Jesus is. His cousin was promoting him, actually, was celebrating him and was talking about him, John the Baptist, and he's just been killed. It says in Matthew 14, 13 to 21, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. And so Jesus, like, oh, I need some time on my own. I like seeing that. Jesus wants to withdraw to a solitary place. He's felt the weight of his cousin dying. And he wants to withdraw and just go take some time away from the crowds and recalibrate and take some time with his father. He withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him. Like, oh, Jesus is going to a solitary place. Let's join. On foot from the towns. So Jesus is thinking, well, I'm crossing on boat, it's a solitary place, this isn't going to be easy for them to get to. And they're like going through like blackberry bushes, and like, cha-cha, just like, we're getting there. And they show up and meet him on the other side. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, here it is, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Yeah, this is when I know that Jesus is Jesus and I'm not Jesus. You know, if my cousin just was murdered by my, you know, prime minister, if all of a sudden that was happening in my life, and I'm like, Lord, I just need a little bit of time with you. First of all, that would be a big step in itself. Like, I've turned to Jesus instead of like creating a guerrilla warfare group against. Like, but I'm gonna go and just have some time on my own and process this and take some time. This is what Jesus does, and the crowd shows up. Any one of us says, "Get away from me." Leave me alone. I'm trying to be alone here. Just give me a few minutes. Didn't you read the fine print? Solitary place. That's where I'm going, to a solitary place by boat that you can't get by feet very easily. And you're all here. Why are you here? Leave me alone. But Jesus looks at the crowd, goes, oh, the crowd. And some of them are sick. I got to heal these guys. I got to look after these guys. I got to take care of these guys. Jesus is clearly better at being a pastor than I am. It says, as evening approached, the disciples came to him and started acting a little bit more like I would have and said, this is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away. This is one of Jesus's, this is like a swear word to Jesus. Send the crowds away. So they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. The disciples try to sound all pastoral and carry here. Oh, send them away. They're going to be hungry, those poor, poor crowds. And really, they're like, we want you, Jesus. I thought we were coming to a solitary place. We're the ones who rowed the boat over here, you know. We're the ones who did the work. I thought we were going to have some time together. And now these people all showed up. So send them away. We need some time. We're your disciples. We're your friends. Remember, we're your favorites, right, Jesus? You even pointed us out. You called each of us together. You asked all of us to be part of this with you. You pulled us along. You brought us into these special moments with you. We've been part of healings that no one else was part of. We've done things with you that no one else has done. Remember, we're your favorites, and your favorites need some time with you. So he says, send them away. They say, send them away. And Jesus replied, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. So these disciples who are tired, worn out, and just need God to fill up their hearts, need Jesus to pour into them, they are like, I'm capped, I can't do anymore, I'm tired of these crowds being around, can you just send them away? And Jesus says, no, but it's okay because I've got a good team that's ready to take care of them. You know who it is? You. See, spiritual maturity is not that you no longer need the crowd, but you start to feed the crowd. Spiritual maturity is not when you all of a sudden have outgrown the crowd and you get to be on your own. Oh, now I don't need the crowd and all those worship musics. Lots of people say, I think when I come to church, it's just too much because there's not a preacher in my bedroom, and so it must not be a real faith. You know, or I don't have real music like that in my bedroom, so I'm trying to lose all the hype. I need to get rid of all the hype so that I can know if I have a real faith or not. But Jesus never says, you know, go and do that and then leave this. He says, but come back to this. This is good. Some of us start to resent the crowd. The crowd is good because it is different than you. And some people do think differently than you. And some people are at different stages of their journey than you. And in fact, most of the crowd that showed up to Jesus needed healing. They needed something from him. And Jesus didn't say, oh, sorry, disciples, I know you're tired. Why don't you go have a rest? I'll come and do all that we need to do later on. Let me deal with this crowd. I know my cousin's just died, and I'm trying to find a solitary place, but you guys are really having it hard, so why don't you go over there and do your thing? No, he says, if you want to learn what it is to be spiritually mature, it's not about you figuring out how to get alone with me more. It's not about you just needing me. It's about you feeding them. About you looking after the people now. And so if you've gotten too mature to gain something from being in the crowd, if you've gotten too mature spiritually to learn something in this group, some people say, I come to church, but I don't learn anything. I show up and the pastor doesn't preach deep enough for me, or I need to take something in. I want to eat some meat. I'm tired of drinking milk. I want to go deeper. I want to go more. I want him to push us harder. I want to hear more of this. Now, if you're in that place, there's a great place for you to start feeding the needs in this room. And start taking care of the people who show up who aren't in that place. Otherwise, who will? We need that. And so they say what we'd all say, yeah, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They answered, bring them here to me, he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. I love that part. Jesus doesn't say, here's a loaf. Shoo, poof, it blows up into a whole bunch of loaves that land into people's laps so nicely. Jesus could have done that. It would have been way cooler. It would have been awesome. If Instagram was rolling, he might have done that at that point, because that would have just been like amazing. He could have gone out and done it all himself, or he could have said, everybody close your eyes, open them, look in front of you, there's a plate, it's full. You know, he could have done anything he wanted. But he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my tired, worn out, favorite people in the whole world, disciples, to feed the favorite people in the whole world, the crowd, and they're going to be a part of this with me. They're going to experience this with me, learning that their spiritual maturity, their discipleship journey, their growth with me is not about how often they can pull me away from the crowd, but it's how well they can be strengthened to move into the crowd and serve the crowd and bless the crowd and take care of the crowd and heal the crowd. Because when we look at Jesus' ministry on the planet, it's not all about, he had all of these quiet times, he had all of these prayer times, he had all of these things, but they'd happen in the middle of the night because he knew when the crowd showed up, he was ready and he was going to serve them and he was going to look after them, and he didn't give the disciples a big break from that most of the time. Usually he said, get in the crowd or you're going to miss out on what's going on. So jump in. Serve with me. Get involved with me. The disciples gave them to the people, and all ate and were satisfied. And then again, the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And so these disciples have now, they didn't just watch Jesus do a miracle, they've now been part of a miracle. They're not just about separating themselves from the crowd because the miracle-working Jesus is going to come and chat with them once he's done with his miracles. No, now they are about working with the miracle-working Jesus in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the people who are broken and hurting and sick and not well and all of that, all of the differences that they have from them. They are now the ones who are working the miracles with them. Worship team, you can come on up. I feel really encouraged by this concept today. Because sometimes I feel like I'm not sure if I've had an answer. You know, when people say, oh, I don't know if I love God, but I don't want to go to the church. Because there's people there that I don't feel like are living the right life. Feel like there's hypocrites there. People feel like there's people there who aren't, you know, who aren't Christians at the workplace, but they are on Sunday. We need to, you know, we need to correct them. Maybe they shouldn't be part of the crowd. No, Jesus, you don't see that happening. Jesus just said, how about we recognize that Jesus is the healer and his disciples are those who are imparting the same thing with him. That they're just going to do what he does, that they're going to act the way he does. They're going to serve those who are lost. Maybe today you show up to church and you feel like you're lost. You feel like, I'm not sure if I fit in this crowd. I'm not sure if I'm going to belong in this crowd. I'm not sure if this is the right place for me to be. The only thing that constituted the right place for a crowd member in Jesus' time to be following Jesus was that they were just interested enough to follow him. Had they made all the decisions? No, not necessarily. Had they determined in their heart, Jesus, yes, he is the Son of God? You know, had they followed through on all of that? No, not necessarily yet. I think most of them probably were getting pretty darn close, especially when he feeds 5,000 of them with a couple fish and five loaves and a couple loaves and five fish. But most of the people in the crowd just came because they were hurting. That's why Jesus had to heal every time he saw them. He saw the crowd, he had compassion, and he healed their sick. This is a common language in the Bible. He saw the crowd, he had compassion, and he healed their sick. He saw the crowd, he had compassion, he healed their sick. People are coming to him sick and tired and broken and weary and lost and confused. And Jesus didn't say, sorry, I'm with my disciples today. He said, disciples, look into the crowd. Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see right now? Oh, do you see? It's a bunch of sheep without a shepherd. It's a bunch of people that don't know the direction that they're going in life. And look at where they are pointing. It's at me. It's at Jesus. And he said, what could we do with these people? What could happen with these people? Why don't we heal their sick? Oh, Jesus, we need some quiet time with you. Why don't we take care of all these people that have shown up? Well, we're tired a little bit. We've been doing a lot of stuff. Hey, why don't we feed all these people? We don't have enough food. And why don't we send them away instead so that we can carry on with what our plans were for the day? How about we have compassion instead? Because compassion compels you towards the crowd. Take care of them and to love them, to look after them. So if you're here today and say, I'm not sure if I fit here, I just want you to know, Jesus would say, are you looking at me? And are you looking for healing, restoring, answers, strength, understanding, direction, clarity? Because if you're here with any of those things, and you're looking towards Jesus saying, do you have something for me? Jesus is saying, yes, I do. Yes, I do have something for you. But Jesus, are you too busy with your favorites? No, because you're my favorite. I'm your favorite. What about everyone else? I wish you didn't ask that question, but yes, they're my favorite too. Because I got a love like you don't know. You can't understand. Can't explain. But the further along you get in spiritual maturity, the more favorite you don't become. Because you are all fully his favorite. From the moment you were born, you were his favorite. But what about when I do all the extra stuff? Still my favorite. A little bit more your favorite? No. because you don't get to become more of what God wants from you. You are everything. All that your life, everything good that you do in your life is a response to His grace for you. His love is not a response to your work for Him. Your great works, your great deeds, your great love, your great compassion, your great action in life is not so that He will love you. It's a response to the fact that He loved you even before you were doing those things. So His disciples, now they fed the 5,000. Imagine they come back to Jesus like, wasn't that cool what we did, Jesus? Are we now pretty awesome? Are we like now better people than all of this crowd? And Jesus is like, do you think you actually split up those loaves and you actually multiplied that fish and you actually fed all those people? Are you lost? Are you just, what is going on through your head? I did that, disciples. But you got to be a part of it. Because you decided the crowd had value even though you have a maturity with me, that you have a personal faith with me. Just because you have a personal faith with me doesn't mean that you leave the crowds. In fact, it's just if you feel like you don't need the crowd, it's time to start feeding the crowd and taking care of them with me. I believe there's some people in the room that Jesus just calling you back to that. Said, hey, you've decided that your faith has gotten a little bit too big for this. You become critical and judgmental of the people in this room. You started questioning the motives of why people are here. You started thinking that they don't dress the same as you, or they don't act the same as you, or they like different music than you, or they have less hair than you, or more hair than you, or different shoes than you'd wear, they smell different, or they look different, or you've started acting that way. You think, well, maybe I'll just go where it's a nice, pure place of only holy people, just where me and Jesus meet. Me and, Jesus and this holy person that I am. And Jesus is saying, get off your high horse. My name is Jesus, and I'm the only one worth worshiping. And if you worship yourself, you're going to miss out on everything that I'm doing with this crowd. So instead of deciding that you don't need the crowd, jump on board and start feeding the crowd with me because I love them. They're my favorites. And so are you. Let's be part of it together. Let's be part of it together. So I just want to pray for you. And then we're going to go feed the crowds. Today, you know your heart. You know where you're at. I'm just going to pray for you just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your favorite. I feel like some people actually just need to say that. Why don't you repeat that after me just for a moment? Just in your quiet voice, if you like. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your favorite. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord, that I'm your favorite. Thank you, Lord, that I'm special. And thank you, Lord, that I'm no more special than the person sitting next to me. Because you have enough love for me and you have enough love for them. Jesus, I pray as our maturity, as our spiritual maturity, as our discipleship grows, as we become closer and closer to you, I pray that you would keep us from the idea that that would mean that we better just go and spend time with you and never be back to the crowd. Lord, thank you that spiritual maturity does grow us in our personal devotion, in our Bible reading, in our prayer, in the way that we act when we're in private. Yet, Lord, you showed us that it doesn't mean that we start to exclude the crowd and tell them that they are no longer as worthy as we are, but instead, Lord, when we recognize that we don't need the crowd, you start calling us to feed the crowd and to take care of them. So call us back into it, Lord. Let us walk boldly and courageously in you. Lord, let us walk humbly with you. Jesus, knowing that we are loved and knowing that we're not the only ones that are loved. Thank you, God, that you love the crowds. You had compassion on the crowds, so much so that when your mom and brothers showed up, so much so that when the disciples showed up and said, we want time with you alone, you said, no, I'm with the crowds right now. Join me, jump in, be involved, because I love them. Jesus, thank you that you do love them, Help us to love them, Jesus. Today, we do it with pies. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and anyone who believes it says, amen. Come on.